You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast. Zoneradio.co.za.
It's 10:30 and time for the Motor Zone with James Donaghy from JSJ Motors. Hello, James, and welcome back.
Yeah, morning to everybody. Weather's quite good. Unfortunately, we've got load shedding again.
Oh, yes.
Hello.
We are busy with it right now,
yes,
are we not?
Yes, yeah, yes. Apparently yes. So. My daughter came and told me.
Oh, yes.
We've got load shedding at 10, Dad. Okay, cool. All right. Yeah, we have to get used to these things.
We are. I think we used it.
So I thought I've got a couple of subjects, but the thing is, it's 20 things you might be shortening the life of your vehicle. I've cut it down to certain things, so just to for people to know. So because owning a car is a big responsibility, as we all know. In addition to paying it off and insurance and things like that, make sure it's properly maintained. I can't stress this enough. Make sure it's maintained. Bad habits when you're driving your car can cause major problems. Biggest thing as well, down here, with the fuels that we use and what they call the EGR, exhaust gas recycling, and the unleaded fuel, change your oil once a year. You know, use a better oil. It's up to you what oil you want to use.
Like you said before, it must be a good oil.
Good oil is lost. It just saves the engine. You know, engine parts nowadays, and to take an engine out to do everything, it's a hell of a lot of money. You know,
yes.
It's expensive. You're looking anywhere from, well, 40, 50K upwards, depending on what vehicle you have. So they are expensive. It's not like the old cars where you could just do certain things and away you go. No. Other big thing is wash your car. Wash your car, they say, between every week or every second week. Within 10 days, you should wash it with clean, fresh water. Do not use dishwash liquid. It destroys the waxes and the oils that they use, the oils to protect the paint and things like that, the clear coat that's in there. This because your dishwashing liquid is meant to get oils and grease and everything off.
Yes.
That's not what
it's
you want.
It's meant for your dishes.
It's meant for your dishes, not your car,
yes.
Because it'll take that protective coat off, because that's why if you watch, if you go and get a good car soap water, it contains wax. So that's why don't use that. Go and get a beautiful little kits that you can get. Get a bucket. Get good stuff. There's a couple of places that do sell slightly cheaper car wash. Nothing wrong with it. Makes bubbles, foams, whatever. Good chamois. Wash it off once a week or every second week. It's just to get rid of the rust, because where you stay.
And also, there are many of us don't want to do it ourselves, so we go to the car wash. Have they got the correct materials?
Yes, they have got the correct materials, but this is another thing, and I'll stress this, why you should wash it yourself.
Okay.
You can check the car over as you're doing things. So you're washing near the wheels, you can check the treads of the tires.
Mm.
Anything that you don't, that you might notice while you're washing the car, someone moved the car forward for you, they can check the lights. Make sure there's two of you. Check the lights while you're busy doing it every 10 days. Nothing wrong with it. And it'll pick up problems as you go along. You can see things as you get used to it. Get your father, especially with younger kids and that, get your mother or father. I'm sure they know a bit more about cars than what you might.
Yes.
But, okay, they're all at school or the newer drivers. But get them to teach you about certain things about the car. When you wash your car, I end up washing my car and the wife's car because she lays in the couch and watches TV. But I prefer doing it, so I pick up things that she doesn't normally pick up. If there's a screw in the tire that it might need to, so you're getting a puncture, go and have it fixed quickly.
You can tell us it doesn't work with partners cleaning cars.
No, everybody's
got their own standards. I couldn't have my man and myself cleaning cars. No. So she can stay on the couch. I should do the same.
Yes. So go out and get yourself a bucket. Go and buy yourself a sponge or a nice cloth to wash the car with. You can get window cleaner, get a nice, decent window cleaner. It's not the same. Newspapers doesn't work the same as years before. So, and learn how to clean the car yourself. The biggest thing as well is clean your windscreen and your windows, front and back. Especially if you've got a smoker in the car, it leaves that thin film of gunk on the windscreen. So, get in there, learn how to wash the car, learn how to wash the windscreen, front and back and your windows. And it's amazing how much better you'll be able to see out your car. And it makes you feel proud that you've washed your car yourself. And, of course, then the rain comes, or there's a dusty road.
It's always the next day.
Yes, always the next day.
How do you get rid of that glare on the windscreen? Now you've cleaned it. So how do you get that glare? Because sometimes as you're riding, it's clean, but you get that glare.
There, you've got to use decent, something with alcohol in it. and you've got to get a good rag. There's a lot of microfiber cloths.
Yes.
Use the microfiber cloth. If it's a very big slanting windscreen on the inside and it slants away from you, wrap the rag around your hand, spray some alcohol on the top of your hand, and use the top of your hand to wipe so you can get more deeper in to clean the thing. So use it, using the top part of your hand to get into the corners and thing. It's quite windows are quite hard, but you will learn to clean them better after a period of time. You'll see, okay, I missed there. I'll do it as well now, okay, as you miss that thing. You do get window cleaner, proper window cleaner.
Car window cleaner.
Car window cleaner, okay. Yeah. It's quite expensive. It's a like a foam. It looks like a foam when you spray it on. Then you use a microfiber cloth to rub it around, and then you take another microfiber cloth to wipe it off.
Okay.
It's the same as your car. You can get a nice, even big towels in that, to dry the car, a drying towel. But they're specially made for doing a certain purpose. So if you've bought if you spent a lot of money in your car, I would wash it myself.
Yes.
look, I'm not stressed. I'm not saying they can or they can't. But the guys with the big rollers, what that tends to happen is those nylon brushes, if they haven't maintained them properly, it tends to scratch your paint over the period of time.
Yeah.
So it goes through the clear coat and it actually destroys. It doesn't. You can see it if you're very fussy about your car. You will see it quite comfortably that it's actually destroying the paintwork. Get someone, take a bucket, use a little bit of elbow grease, as they would say. Yeah, so yeah, do that because, like I say, you can check everything on your car. You can check your tires. You can see your rims. You might have hit a pothole. You're not sure. Damage the rim. You can get it fixed. A screw or a nail or something in there. Get it fixed before you know you're going somewhere.
Yes.
And especially now we're coming up to holiday time.
Oh, yes.
I would do that myself. So get someone to help you. Like I say, check the lights. Just before you wash the car, check the lights. Go through everything. Get your vacuum cleaner out. Vacuum the cars. Have a make sure everything's working properly. Like the seat belts are working nicely. There's nothing rolling under a bottle or something that's under a seat with water. It has happened before. People leave bottles. You go to brake, and this bottle rolls under your brake pedal or your clutch pedal, and you go to push it again. You got nothing because this bottle is underneath your pedal, so you have an accident from that. And make sure everything that's on the back shelf and that is put away.
So if you stay very close to the sea, how often then should you wash it? Once a week because you're very close to the sea?
7 to 10 days.
7 to 10 days.
Wash
okay.
it. Get the, especially because where you stay, you're down the bottom there.
That's what I'm asking.
The salt is, and change the direction of your car, how you park. So one day the right-hand side will face the ocean. Change it to the left-hand side facing the ocean. Reason being, it'll just cut down on the rust buildup on the one side. Believe me, it does happen. You can see the difference on rims. Anything aluminium or even your windscreen wipers, the arms, they start to get destroyed as well. And it just depends on which way you park towards the ocean. Reverse it facing the ocean. Change direction. Every sec, you'll be surprised how much longer you'll see it'll cut back on the rust damage into the car itself. So yeah, do that. It's silly things, but believe me, it does help.
It's silly, but makes sense.
Oh yeah, no, that I've taught it. I'm sure. So we come into the tires and all that as well. Make sure you do your wheel alignment about every 10,000 kilometers, just before the service or whatever. You can have your tires rotated and have your wheel alignment done. Especially now, Christmas time, if people are going to go away, check all your tires. Remember, don't forget your spare. Make sure your wheel span is there. Make sure you've got your triangle. Make sure you've got a torch. Make sure you've got a visibility vest. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it might. Make sure you've got everything packed away. Yeah. Most of the people do, like the towing the caravans. Make sure the wheel bearings are done on the caravans and things like that. Or your boat trailer that you go in and out of. So a lot of people, most people do have it done, but those that forget, go and have that checked as well. And check your lights on your caravans. Don't leave it to the last minute. Because I've seen it at Peter, the guys line up there, start and centre a couple of days before they're going on. Because rats can get into your car.
That's true. Just why do they, and on this is on the new cars now, why do they have the spare tyre so tiny?
It's weight saving and it costs them less.
Because now you want to change the tyre and you've got these huge ones, you've got one little.
Run flats. So they call that little
run flat. Run flats.
Well, you've got run flats, sorry, it's not run flats, it's just your emergency running tyre. It's a small little skinny little thing.
Yes.
Maximum speed on that thing is 80 kilometres an hour.
Until you can get to
and it's supposed to be done the same day, unless it's on a Saturday or Sunday and you can't get to it, but get it done. It's not meant to take a load. It's just meant, it's a space-saving tire that fits in there, so the space, but not that you've got to think of the 6,000, 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 cars that they sell. How much does it save them on money?
True, because before it wasn't like that. Before you had the same full-size tire.
Yes, so that's – but and then the same as your mag wheels on the cars as well. They used to put four mag wheels and one steel. So they made sure you change that because you don't want to look your car ugly.
Yes.
But some people, that they do drive around with – these. I see you – they're coming back from the coast or going up on holiday, and there's a lot of people that drive on this thing. It's not made for load, and it's not – it's only the emergency tire to get you to – another place to get it fixed. And people, and make sure your jack works. Take your jack out, make sure your jack can jack up the car, jack it down. That's just, and make sure your wheel spanners fits on your wheels. You might have had it changed or.
But they tighten those nuts so tight. So us ladies, I know not all of us are superwomen and men. And that, now, how do you undo that? You're stranded on the side of the road. You've got to wait for someone in a shining armor to stop and help you.
Help you, yes. Unfortunately, yeah, sometimes the guys over-tighten. You see them standing on the wheel spanner to tighten it. Why do you think they give you that little wheel spanner, that little L-shaped thing that looks tiny? Because it should just take your body weight as you start putting that wheel on. If you're pushing it down,
yes,
a little bit of their body weight behind you, tighten it, it'll be tight enough.
But not all vehicles have that little tiny.
Most of them do.
Okay.
Most they don't. You'll see they skimp on wheel spanner. It's not like a four-way wheel spanner that we've got. Because you might have a trailer and you might have a car with two different size wheel nuts. That's the reason they give it to you. But you're basically, your torque on your wheel nuts should be about 110 newton meters, which is not a lot. It's not a lot if you go and use it, if you get someone to show you how it does. So when you tighten your wheel, you'll see it comes off easy. You don't have to jump and stand on the wheels. Yeah. It's just get a little bit of body weight behind it. Use your weight on your shoulders and that, and lean down and just push it. You'll let it go. That's it. That normally doesn't take more than that.
Yeah.
Like I say, most cars, BMW, Mercedes, Benz, I think VW, Toyota and all that, basically about 110, between 110 and 115 newton meters, I wouldn't go more than that. That's why you see the guys at the Tiger Wheel and Tire or the HiQ or Space, always using a torque wrench. You'll see them in a tightening wheel, you'll see them doing that click, 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 torque wrench, tightening the wheels to specific tightening, and that's all it has to be. It doesn't have to be more than that. If you haven't taken your wheels off for quite a while, or it hasn't been for a service for quite a while, if you have, basically almost if you've got an aluminium rim, what happens is that corrodes onto the wheel hub.
All right.
Take it off. Take some sandpaper or a wire brush.
Because then it seizes, doesn't it?
Seizes, yeah. And believe me, I did one the other day. I had to take a good big rubber hand mallet and hit it about 15 times before the rim finally moved. It was off the wife's car. What am I talking about? It's one she just got. So that, especially if you wash your car a lot. So what happens is it penetrates in between there and it causes rust. It's not rust, but it's aluminium oxides against the steel. And it's two different materials. So take a wire brush, clean it off nicely, take a little bit of copper slip, and put it around both sides so it slides over. So you know the wheel can come off easy. Because that's another thing. You do it before you go on holiday if you just by some chance. Because believe me, to get that wheel off, you'll be laying on your backside in the dirt or whatever, kicking the wheel left to right. The easiest way would be to get it from the inside, but you don't want to take a chance. And remember about the car falling on you. Too many people have been killed or injured badly.
And don't forget your A-frame.
A-frame, and then take your spare wheel out, put it under the car once it's jacked up. So if you go to take the wheel off and you've got this problem with the wheel being too tight,
It can fall on the spare.
The spares, you can always replace the spare. You can't replace your legs or your life. Just be careful and try and get off the road, whatever. Yeah, so That's one of it. You're getting carried away. I'm just trying to go this way. So make sure, and also another thing, if you hit a pothole by some chance, have that checked out at a wheel alignment place. If you're going bad sand roads, if you know it, when you get back from holiday, go and have your wheel alarm checked again just to make sure nothing's moved. If you're going through a lot of muddy sections and you're coming back, make sure you wash the inside of your rims because the mud can cake on there and throw the wheel balancing out as well. Make sure you use the correct fuel. Make sure when they you stop and they ask the guy for diesel, he puts diesel. And yeah, so and another thing as well is that people get caught out. If you're going to check, if you ask the guy to check your water, don't do it when your car is hot.
Do it when it's cold.
Do it when it's cold.
Yes.
And it's the same as the garage. Don't blame the garage for your oil filler cap being left loose. You got, get out. Get off your bum. Go nature. Make sure he does it and make sure he checks it properly. So you know for peace of mind, you don't drive down the road. Next minute you see this oil smoke coming out and it causes a fire, whatever, and you want to blame him. You've got to take some responsibility for yourself as well. Don't blame them for things. They warn you. Go get out your car and check it. And like I say, oil should also be checked before you drive away, especially on holiday. It's no use if you, unless you know your car is using a hell of a lot of oil, then you know if you've got a problem. Then carry extra oil with you. It'll save you a lot of money at stopping at the garage and putting it in. Because oil is expensive nowadays. So what isn't? But do that. What else will be there? Just don't neglect your car. Look after it. If you look after it, it'll look after you. Use the correct parts for your car if you're going to service them. If you want to do your brake pads, just remember, it's not a difficult job to do. And if you've got some experience or something, if you watch someone else do it, just be careful with the brake fluid. You don't have to loosen the brake nipple to get the caliper back. There's a lot of the newer cars, you can't do the back ones because they have electronic parking brakes. And you don't have to have the machine, but you should have the machine to disconnect it so you can put the new brake pads in. And the Golfs and the VWs and Toyotas and that have got a wind-back rear brake caliper. So you can sit there with a 10-ton, 40-ton jack trying to get that piston back. It's not going to move. You need a special tool to wind it back. And if you, like I say, don't do it. If you see it's got that, take it to someone who's got the tool. It makes it so much easier to them to do
it.
So if you do front brake pads yourself, pump the brakes. Just remember, pump the brakes before you put the wheels back. Make sure everything's nice. And when you get into the car, pump again. Make sure there's no air in the system. The brake pedal is hard. And take it easy for 200-300 kilometers. Even if someone puts new brake pads in, 200-300 kilometers, drive slowly, casually. Let the brake pads wear in, because you'll see when you push the brakes the first time, the car's got a tendency not wanting to stop properly.
Yeah.
So just give it that time to bed into the discs and things like that. So they last longer if you don't drive it like a hoolie. use good parts on them, especially sensors, OEM, original engine manufacturing vehicle equipment, especially sensors. Sensors make a big difference if you're going to change a sensor or a problem, put it back in, because it will make a difference. I had one the other day that did it. It wouldn't fit. And it looks identical, but just doesn't fit. Lucky I had another one, put the original one in. Perfect.
There we go. James, another question. I had no idea that there was certain fuses for certain batteries. And we learnt the hard way.
Yes, you did.
So, a hard way. So, explain that to us. Because, you know, a battery gets put in and take me now. I went to go get the battery.
Okay.
I had no idea that the battery was not communicating with the fuse. And
well, not communicating with anything.
Well, it started with the fuse and the battery, but it was driving fine until we left the lights on, and that's when it blew everything. So we, explain why. Why
well,
would you need?
You've got there's two different types of. You've got a low amperage fuse and a high amperage fuse.
Yes.
Normally, the high amperage fuse is sitting at something that draws a lot of current, so that'll be anywhere from a 40 to 100, 120 amp fuse. So that's a big, strong fuse that's going to hold it. The lighter, smaller ones are normally for operating a system inside the vehicle, anywhere from a 5 amp up until a 30 amp fuse. That's so they're all different colors.
Yes.
So if you have a look and you've got your, if you blow something, for instance, on your radio, radios are normally a low amperage fuse of about 5 to 15 at the most. Put the correct one that comes out, put the correct one in. Have a look at the color. Go lower. If you don't have the correct one, rather go lower than higher. Because if it does blow, what happens is the wires are made to take a certain amount of amperage, voltage through the wires. And if you put a heavier fuse in there, it'll burn the wire before it blows the fuse. So you've got to have the right correspondence. So have a look in your service book. So they normally have it there, or sometimes even on the the fuse box will be, have different colors. They have a blue and a red and a yellow and a green.
Yes.
So the green is a high amperage. That's 30. That's normally the biggest one you'll find in a fuse box.
Is that for radio?
No. Different things. Yeah. You've got to remember that a car's got 12 volts, yes, but most of the operating systems that are in the vehicle run on 5 volts.
Okay.
So if that's another thing. Learn to jump start your car. If there's a problem with the battery, I always recommend charging the battery first, then jump starting it. But if you have to jump start it, the P stands for red. I know. P is the red one. That's a positive.
Yeah.
And the black is a negative.
Yes.
Okay. Make sure. What they're saying now is take your car. The donor car, as they say, with the battery, don't start that car. This is a lot of them recommending this as well. Connect it up to the car that your car, with the flat battery, and then connect it up to the donor car, as they would say.
Yes.
Leave it for a couple of seconds to let the car the battery settle down, and then try and start the car. If you cannot do that, if the car doesn't want to start, you're going to have to start your donor car. But disconnect the battery first. Start your donor car. Connect up the battery cables. On your car, you're going to jump start. Turn on the air conditioner, rear demister, and lights.
So what happens? You turn that on.
You turn it on. It just brings the current draw through the battery down.
Okay.
And it acts as a safety system as well, so it draws a bit more. Sometimes what you do is just leave those off for a couple of minutes. If the donor car charge the battery slightly, then turn the headlights on, the rear demister. BMW tell you this all the time. That's what you should do. And try and start the car. If it doesn't start after 3 or 4 times, take the battery out or get a battery charger, charge the battery. Batteries take 12 to 24 hours to charge properly. With a 4-amp charger, you're looking at 12 to 24 hours.
Okay.
Even with a big battery charger, which I use, but a trickle charger, a small 4-amp charger, 12 to 24 hours, your battery's going to be nice and strong. And if you take a multimeter to test it, it'll say 12.7 volts. It mustn't be less than 12.5, 12.7 should be basically what your battery should be sitting at.
Yes.
Because these are heavy batteries as well. Especially if it's a big car, I would charge it. It's just honestly the best thing to do. And like I said, unfortunately, what's called, we won't mention names, got caught out. He put it back. But it blew. That's a safety system because a fuse is a safety system.
Yes.
And it blew the big one. But the guys fitted the wrong type fuse. It should have been anywhere from a 60 to an 80 amp fuse on that specific block.
That's what I want to get to. You go and
you've got to trust who you go to.
Yes. I've blown all the fuses and you go sort it out. Surely they should know that wasn't the right fuse for that battery.
Unfortunately, we all make mistakes.
It
does happen.
If it's a female like me, and many females out there, we're in this situation, and we make our way.
It's not even a female thing. It's not a female. And I said to someone this morning as well. It's not a female thing.
Yeah.
It's actually everybody. So you've got to be. It doesn't matter whatever. We all get caught out by silly things, you know.
Yes.
But look at it. I had to go in to look at something else because there was no booking it, and I found it, but I knew that was too weak when I saw it for the first time because that was a big heaver. But it happens.
But I've learned something.
You've learned something.
Yes. Now,
and I showed you see the difference between the little piss-willy little one, as you call it, to the proper one.
And the different colors. Okay. Yeah.
There's different colors in the fuses. But like I say, do not put a heavier amp fuse in. So if it's a red 10 amp, don't put a blue 15 in. Keep it at 10 or go lower to a 7.5. I'd rather you replace the fuse than burn out your car because what happens is that wire, like I said, is only made to do X amount of current through it to draw. Yes. And if you don't do it, what happens is, remember, wires all turn around each other and they've got insulation tape. That wire will cause it to run. So it'll cause running. If it goes under the carpet, it can get too hot
and
cause a car to catch a light. Look, it's not often as a thing, but it does happen.
Yeah.
So yes, be careful when you're doing that. If you're not sure, go to someone that's qualified and knows what
they're
doing.
We've learned a lesson. We ain't doing it ourselves. We're going to someone who knows what they're doing.
It's easy. Ask advice.
Yeah.
Advice is the easiest thing. Captain Google doesn't always help you.
No.
It's very good. I tell you, Captain Google helps me a lot. But you've got to know what you're looking for.
Yes. And you've got to know what you're doing as well.
So you've got to do that and make sure, like I said, colors are there for a reason. Put the correct fuse back into your car if you're not sure. Carry some fuses. And like I say, the lights as well. Doing your headlights, put a decent headlight in your car. It makes a difference to see where you're going. Look, we're getting a long summers now, so it's not after 8 o'clock, then you'll need your headlights. But put a good headlight globe in. Yeah.
There's many vehicles that have not got the correct lights in. And we've had that last experience this last few weeks driving at night.
Yes.
People definitely not right.
Don't go buy a cheap globe. They're not that expensive. A good H7 globe by Philips or by Osram or something. It's about 45 rand.
Yeah.
They're cheap. They're not that expensive. And if you are going to do it, just be careful you do it properly because the clips are there. You know, they're made for really small people. I even struggle to get it in there. But make sure you put it in correctly because if you don't put it in correctly, you'll see the een oogie is boer, een oogie is
I've seen that too.
So high, and you're blinding the person coming to you. You're not seeing the road, you know. So be careful when you do that. Get someone to do it. It's not that difficult to do it. And you can spend a lot of money on gloves, believe me. Anywhere from... I just got a set of gloves for my brother's daughter's car in Natal because they drive dark roads, and that was 2,000 rand just for four gloves.
Sure.
But he said he wants good gloves for her, so and that's still cheap. So, but if you want to spend the money, fine. But just remember, down at the coast, we do tend to, with the moisture level and that, the gloves blow earlier and the connectors get worn from corrosion. So get someone to check your gloves. It makes it... You safer makes everybody else safer, so they can see what's happening. But a lot of people just ignore it and think, that who cares?
Yeah, true.
Care for yourself, care for others, put your headlights on, look after your car. It will look after you because the price of things are going through the roof.
Oh, my word, yes.
But I heard petrol's coming down. I don't know if anything else is coming down after that.
Oh, really? Is it coming down again?
It's coming down again.
Oh, wonderful.
I think diesel's coming down about 2 rand, close to that in the next week or so. So that's good news just before Christmas. I don't know if it'll bring the prices down of the food that they've...
That's wonderful news. That's a lovely way to end our session today.
Yes.
James, anything else you want to share before we say adios?
No, that's about it. I think we've seen quite a bit.
So we need to give out your contact details.
Yes, they can contact me on 081-070-4919. If you need any advice, I don't mind. I'm there, wherever.
Thank you, James. Very true. Yes. So, James, thank you for coming in and sharing your knowledge and expertise with us. And we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Time. Yeah, cool. Yeah, it'll be the last one for the year.
Yes, have a liquor, liquor, liquor. Enjoy the rest of your show. Safe afternoon. Bye for now.